Lord, we just thank you for another Sunday morning. Lord, we thank you for this Palm Sunday, Lord God. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy, Lord God. And we pray, Lord, we ask for your Holy Spirit to come, Lord God. And we also say, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he that came in the name of the Lord, that saved us and bought our redemption, Lord. So we just want to say thank you today. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. And Lord, if we could just have audience with you one more time, Lord, we ask for your Holy Spirit to come and move and teach and help us, Lord God, to absorb your word, Lord God. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. First announcement is the Pot Faith is today. So, yay. So we're going to have a really great time. So hope you all can come out. And we just have just good food and good fellowship and just inviting you all to come out to the Pot Faith at my house. If you need a flyer, there's some extra flyers up there on the counter. Also, we're starting session 2 in War Room today. Yay. Real accountability. We got through honesty evaluation. Whew. That was something, you know. It dug deep. Believe me, when I'm teaching you all, I'm teaching myself too, because I'm like, oh my goodness, I got to work on this one, you know. So, and now we're going into real accountability. And again, oh boy, it's just such a serious, serious lesson as we get into. And I'm really enjoying this War Room series because it is talking to believers. You know, as believers, we need teaching. You know, and I'm just happy for this teaching that is targeted toward us believers, really getting down into the reality of what it means to be a Christian and what it means to be a believer. So this session 2, Real Accountability of War Room, we start today, and the key verse is from Proverbs 27:6, and this is in the Amplified, and it says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Boy, I could park right there. It says, faithful are the wounds of a friend who corrects out of love and concern, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful because they serve his hidden agenda. Boy, doesn't that speak of our world and the relationships that we run into in our world today? So we're going to get into accountability. And the question is, why do we need a session on accountability when we're talking about war room, when we're talking about spiritual warfare? It is because the enemy is trying to pick us off one by one. And he is picking some of us off one by one. Those that have come into, I'm talking about those that have come into Christendom. He's picking people off because we need to understand accountability. It's in this, especially as you go into deeper into spiritual warfare, as you begin warfare prayers. I hope you guys have set up your war rooms and stuff. As you begin warfare prayer, you need to be, and you begin asking God to bring back what the devil has stolen. We need to watch each other's back. Don't think this is a small thing. Remember, this is warfare. And when he sees you start getting yourself together and getting your war room together and you start bombarding heaven with your prayers, oh, he's coming after you, okay? And that's why we've got to be watching each other's back. And that's what this accountability piece is all about. We need to be praying for other soldiers, our fellow believers. We need to be praying and intervening for our fellow believers to watch backs, their backs as we take victory. So I hope you guys are praying for me. I hope you guys are praying for pastors. I hope you all guys are praying. You know, I remember Pastor Steve saying a few months ago, or maybe a year or so ago, about the number of churches that close in America every year. Close, shut down, because the pastors give up. You know, the enemy's picking us off, guys. And that's what this whole lesson is going to be about. Accountability. Watching each other's back. Taking care of each other. That's the way Jesus put it together. That's why we are the body of Christ, so that we can be together, so that we can help each other out when we see each other in trouble. So in your lesson, it says this session is about accountability. Wounds from a trusted friend. Perhaps you have someone in your life who is willing to walk through difficulty with you. Maybe your life lacks that type of solid friendship to have a friend like that. Or you should be a friend like that. And that's from our book, the War Room book. So as we look at this comment that they made in the book, we understand it's a process to get past the superficialities of friendship and move into brotherhood and sisterhood. I mean, true brotherhood and true sisterhood, like you do with your family. You got to get past some of the superficiality of friendship and move into that. We must learn how to listen to each other's struggles, our failings, our hopes, and our desires, and give godly prayer and words. You need godly words to it and godly prayer to it. You know, don't just listen to somebody, you know, just lightly. Listen and hear what they're saying. You know, sometimes people just want somebody to listen to them. If I could just bounce it off you and you can tell me what you feel in your spirit, maybe I won't go down that wrong path. Or maybe I will be encouraged to go down a path that God is telling me to go down. But it takes us taking the time to listen to each other and to pour into each other. Accountability, folks. We need accountability when we talk about warfare. Accountability is a major part of spiritual warfare. Let me just turn this off. It's still playing. Accountability is a major part of spiritual warfare. This is a segment where we battle to receive God's truth into our own lives and speak God's truth into the lives of others. See, accountability, folks, get that it goes both ways. You can't be the big speaker and the person pouring into everybody and nobody can pour into you. It goes both ways. We all need accountability. Every single person needs accountability. So accountability battles the lies of Satan head on. Lies that persuade believers to sin must be dealt with. That liar, that adversary, the devil, he's cunning. He is so cunning. That's why we need each other. That's why we need the mature saints. That's why we need the new saints. Because I like the new saints, man. They're so fresh in Jesus. And they look at everything with such fresh eyes. Sometimes I just love to listen to them. I'm like, you know what? I used to think that too one time. You know, and now I've been saved so long, I forgot. You know? You know, the new believer, they're praying over their food. And I'm just like, God's meat, let's eat. You know? You know, so we have to, you know, we need each other. It goes both ways. So we got to get deep into this accountability piece so the enemy's not picking us off, guys. Not taking so many of us down. The first point in your lesson says, there comes a point in your Christian walk when you begin to look outside of yourself to the needs of others. This is a natural progression in the life of a believer. You move out of selfishness. When you come to know Christ and you start growing in Christ, you will naturally move out of selfishness and move into who he is. And he was a giver to the point of giving his life. So you naturally, it's a natural progression to move to out of selfishness into the needs of others. Just like him, you will sense the call to encourage others to the higher things in God. You will feel the fruit of the Spirit taking root in your spirit, and you will begin to act in love, in joy, in peace, in gentleness, in goodness, in kindness, in faith, in long-suffering or temperance or balance, and self-control. And you know this is all this in Galatians 5, 22, 23. And I'll tell you, that love piece, we're going to hit on that love piece. When you sense the manifestations of the fruit of the Holy Spirit in your spirit, you will automatically reach out to others because love reaches out. Love cannot be contained. Love will reach out. In fact, you can't even define love without loving, without reaching out to somebody else. How can you say you have love and you have no one to love? Love, the very definition of love means that you reach out to somebody else. So love automatically will reach out. And we know the scripture says that God is love. Hallelujah. So we have to get that. The next point in our lesson says, accountability is about growing up. This growth has to do with allowing others to speak truth into your life and speaking the truth in love, speaking the truth in love. We can speak the truth sometimes, but we got to make sure we're speaking the truth in love into the lives of others. This communication has no hidden agenda. It is pure love. It is prompted and controlled by the Holy Spirit. It is sometimes initiated without an appointment, but by the circumstantial movements of the Holy Spirit. I want you to get that. Sometimes, most of the time, it's without an appointment. It's just the movement of the Holy Spirit. It will often be unexpected by you. The Holy Spirit already knew you were going to have that interaction with that person. But often it's unexpected by you. But the Holy Spirit has ordained you to be there. It is not always words. And sometimes it's not always a word. Sometimes it's not always taking out the Bible. Sometimes it's an action that blesses somebody in the moment. Sometimes it's a cup of coffee. Sometimes it's just something that the Holy Spirit prompts you to do for somebody. And you just do it because it's prompted by the Holy Spirit. Didn't expect to do it. I only had that dollar for my cup of coffee. But the Holy Spirit says, give it to Sheila. Give it to Mary. Give it to Joe. You know, prompted by the Holy Spirit. Sometimes you will act and then just move back out of the scene without any praise or accolades, letting God get all the glory. Can you do that? Or do you say, I'm the one that gave you that cup of coffee. You know, I know you didn't see me put it there, but I'm... Oh, we have so much to learn, don't we? Can you do it? Can you just do it because the Holy Spirit told you to do it? And you back away off the scene, and nobody even saw you do it but God. And God gets all the glory because you don't know what that person was praying for. And then they saw that somebody just loved on them like that. And they give all the glory to God because they were praying, Lord, I just needed that today. And you know I needed that today. And somebody did it. And I don't even know who did it, Lord, but thank you, Jesus. God got all the glory. Hallelujah. See, that's what that's what we're talking about. And we're really manifesting this fruit of the Spirit to other people and learning how to love others. The next point on your lesson says, sometimes the assignment to another person may come through an accidental exposure of their circumstances. Again, these are divine appointments. You just walked into something. Didn't even know they were going to tell you what they told you, or you were going to find out what you found out about them. So be sensitive to the Holy Spirit at the moment of someone's exposure, and always begin with prayer. Folks, and this is not natural for us human beings. We learn something about somebody and, whoa, we want to go tell the world. You know, we want to go tell. We want to go tell. You know, we're just like the news media. We get mad at the media sometimes for all the stuff they want to tell, all the garbage they want to tell all the time. But they wouldn't stay in business if people weren't listening and listening and listening. And sometimes we're the same way. But we need to always seek to protect people. Protect them. Love covers. Love covers. 1 Peter 4:8. If you want to write that scripture down. 1 Peter 4:8 says, above all, have fervent and unfailing love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. It overlooks unkindnesses and unselfishly seeks the best for others. That's what our Lord's word says. We cover of we don't expose people when they've been exposed. We cover them up. We help them. We try and see how we can do. We protect them in however we can. The next point: gossip should never be a part of a believer's life. Let me say that again. Gossip should never be a part of a believer's life. And this is a tricky demon, okay? It's a demon. It's a demon. And it's a tricky one, because sometimes it will trick you into gossiping under the guise of a prayer request. Have you ever had that? You need to pray for Barbara, because Barbara, you know, her husband left her girl, and her husband left her, and you know, her husband was, you know, he had several girlfriends, you know, so he finally left her, and you know, she just had it. So you need to pray for her. You should pray for her. Oh, really? Do we need all that detail? And often it's said in front. Sometimes it's said in front of groups. No consideration. You know. Love your brothers like you love yourself. Always think, what if that was me? What if that was me? Would I want somebody, how would I want somebody to treat me? So again, watch the demon of gossip. It is a demon, and it is a deadly demon. I'm telling you, people have committed murder over too much talking. Someone talking too much. You know, I mean, you've heard the stories. The mob, man, you know too much, man. They you know, just from talking too much. People are dead today because they talk too much. So you got to watch that spirit, and when that spirit approaches you, you need to know how to shut it down. You know, well, let's pray. I don't need to know anymore. I don't need to know anything else. Let's just pray. Let's just lift them up. Let's just pray. Shut that thing down, because it is a deadly. It said the tongue is a restless evil, a deadly poison, and they're talking about the demon of gossip. So gossip should never be a part of a believer's life. Prayer should be the first words out of our hearts in learning of someone's situation or plight. First thing we should be doing is pray. Lord, I just lift them up. Lord, in this day and age, folks, when people are checking out in suicide, people are checking out in homicide, we need to be praying. Children are committing suicide, folks. And often they're committing suicide because of this demon of gossip. You know, and it's magnified today because of the internet, because of all of these social networking sites. And people know everything. You can take a picture of somebody doing something and put it up on the internet, and the whole world knows it. You know, children don't even realize they have a loaded revolver in their hand with that cell phone sometimes. And the demon of gossip is behind it. It is a demon that we need to recognize, and we need to shut down in the name of Jesus. You shut it down with prayer. You shut it down with prayer. So again, we have to remember that we pray. Even when it's something that hurts your heart. Because often what we'll say, I can't believe they did that. Even when it's something that's going to embarrass you. And we're going to talk about this stuff. As I said, these lessons are so poignant to us Christians. And there's certain things we don't talk about, and we need to talk about them. Even when it hurts us. Even when it embarrasses us as a church, we got to learn we don't shoot our wounded. We wrap up the wounds of our wounded. We pray for our wounded. We embrace our wounded. If they'll let you, you embrace them and love on them and bring them back into the fold. Oh, but for the grace of God, but for the grace of God, go I. But for God's grace, go I. Don't think you're above. Don't think you're above falling. None of us are above falling. I'm so glad for the people that pray for me. I'm so glad, because any one of us at any moment in time can get discouraged with the battle that is ongoing and ongoing and ongoing and ongoing. We need each other. We got to watch for each other. The next point on your lesson says, for true accountability to occur, there must be trust. There must be trust. Can people trust you? And I'm telling you, if you deal with the yakety yaks, the yakety yak, talking, I'll tell you right now, people don't trust you.
Amen.
There are certain people, I love them, but they're talkers. And I'm not like, okay, certain people, I'm not telling you that. Because you talk too much. You don't mean it, but it just may slip out because you have told me about everybody else. You're telling me that. I'm like, you know, just talking, not necessarily negative stuff, but just constantly talking, you know. So watch that. Take that to your war room and nail it to the wall of the war room. Lord, put a guard over my mouth. Holy Spirit, control my tongue today, Holy Spirit. I remember I used to pray that prayer. Holy Spirit, control my tongue so I'm not slipping stuff out, so people can trust me. You're a child of God. You're walking into the workplace. People know you're a Christian. They should be able to trust you. You should be the person they know. I can trust that one because that person is a Christian. That's who you should be. That's your label as child of God. If people can't trust you, the enemy will have a field day in their mind. See, if people can't trust you, they're going to stay with their situation, their circumstances, their oppressions and depressions. They'll keep it to themselves, and the enemy will just have a field day in their mind, and before you know it, they will do something tragic. Because there's nobody they could talk to. Nobody they could trust. We need to be those people that they can trust. We're talking about accountability. As I said, you see where this ties into warfare? You're fighting for the lives and the souls of people. So they have to be able to trust you. So they won't stay alone. They will trust you enough to pour, to speak to you and to talk to you. The next point says, remember the honest evaluation of yourself in the previous lesson and target your weaknesses in helping others in your personal prayer. Self-accountability before Christ precedes outside accountabilities, and that's so true. Self-accountability. Account for yourself. Target your weaknesses in helping others. What is my weakness in helping others? Why can't I help other people? Lord, bring it to the Lord. He'll tell you. Well, you're selfish. You're too caught up with yourself. You don't take the time out for anybody else, you know. You're talking too much, and people hear you talk. And they're so like, well, of course, that's the person I'm not going to tell. You know, I remember when all this stuff happened with I believe Jim Baker and PTL. Some of you guys remember it many, many years ago. And I remember they had a show on Nightline. Ted Koppel was there. And I remember they had two pastors. I can't recall their name. And I remember one pastor was E.V. Hill. I'll never forget E.V. Hill. And so Ted Koppel was asking the other two pastors, well, what do you think should be done with Jim Baker? And they said, well, I think they should take away his ministry and they should just not let him preach anymore. And then another pastor said, I agree. I think they should not allow him to do and just take away his ministry. And it was so funny because Ted Koppel said, well, what do you think, Pastor Hill? And I remember E.V. Hill, he had those pastors on either side of him, and he kept doing this. He looked back. And then E.V. Hill said this, as only E.V. Hill could say it. He said, I don't know what we should do. All I know is, if I ever get in trouble, I ain't calling none of these guys. And Ted Koppel laughed and laughed. It was so funny and so true. You know, he was like, if I ever get in trouble, I ain't calling none of these guys. And that is so funny. Look up Ted Koppel. I mean, look up E.V. Hill on Nightline. And it was so true that, you know, it was like, instead of embracing the brother, here you are on national TV, shooting our wounded. You know, instead of embracing, like, we all fall. We all have mistakes. Why aren't you, you know, embracing this brother before the world? So we want to be sure that we're checking our own selves. You must bring your own resentments to the cross first. Because often when you hear about somebody's fallen, especially a brother and sister in Christ, there's a resentment that comes up in us as believers. I mean, I'm just being real. Just being honest. Deal with the true feelings, right? You feel embarrassed. You feel resentful. So deal with those resentments. Bring it to the cross first. Remember the warfare. And do not take things personally. Meaning when people fall, remember they were in a war. They're in a battle. And they got a spear. One of those fiery darts hit them. So don't take it personally. I can't believe they did that, and it makes us all look bad. They've been hit by the enemy of us all. Remember the war, and don't take it personally. Take that stuff to the cross so you can get up and help your brother and help your sister when they fall. Next on your lesson, it says, note this prayer by King David. Is this a prayer you would be willing to pray? Boy, this is powerful. It says, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Hallelujah. Keep watch over the door of my lips. to keep me from speaking thoughtlessly. Do not incline my heart to consent or tolerate any evil thing, or to practice deeds of wickedness with men who plan and do evil. And let me not eat of their delicacies, be tempted by their gain. Let the righteous thoughtfully strike. Let the righteous thoughtfully strike, correct me. It is a kindness done to encourage my spiritual maturity. Hallelujah. That's Psalms 141, 3 through 5. You know, let the righteous thoughtfully strike me. He's asking for it. Let the people who love God hit me and strike me. Tell me the truth. It is a kindness done to encourage my spiritual maturity. And that's where we've got to get to. So that we can receive, because some of us, our issue is that we can't receive nothing. People trying to speak into your lives, people have been where you are, and they're trying to speak, and you're shut down. Got a wall, don't want to listen. But I'm telling you, be like David that says, let the righteous thoughtfully strike and correct me. It will take a casting down, back to your lesson, it will take casting down your pride to truly pray this prayer. You have to strike down your pride. We always come back to that, don't we? We always come back to pride. We always. You know, as I think of Andrew Murray that said, you can trace every sin of mankind, you can trace back to pride. Every sin. And it's interesting because, yeah, we always come back to pride. You have to cast down your pride to truly pray this prayer. In Psalm 141, David writes favorably about accountability. His desire is for God to steer his heart away from evil, specifically by means of righteous friends who will be bold enough to rebuke a king. Hallelujah. Who will be bold enough to rebuke a king. And that's from your War Room book 23, page 23. What an amazing king to understand his need for accountability. That's amazing for a king to understand that he needs accountability. This underscores the truth that the higher the status that you and I have, the more you need accountability. The higher the status, the more you need accountability. And the safer the people are that you rule over, or the people that you are responsible for, they are safer when the leader has accountability. There's a reason why our government is set up the way it is, our federal government. There's a reason why. You know, people flock to America because of the democracy here. Government of the people, for the people, and by the people. And you see, we got three branches of government so that we can't have a dictatorship. Because we need accountability. Each part gives accountability to the other part. Because the higher you are, the more you need accountability. So don't think you're so high, you're so mighty, that you can't get accountability. I speak to everyone that has people that you are responsible for. Mothers, fathers. Oh, fathers and mothers. You especially, because you've got these little ones. They're vulnerable, depending on you to be there to take care of them. That means you need accountability. Grandchildren, looking to you. That means you need accountability, so you do right by them. We all need. That's why they got all these classes on parenting. Because you need accountability. All these books on parenting, because some of us don't know how to parent. And it's so important. This accountability is so important. Because these children, they grow up. And if they were raised by a tyrant, whether you're a man or a woman, if you're a tyrant, oh, it's going to sprout. That seed, those seeds you're planting in those little ones, they will sprout. And folks, they will come back with a vengeance. You're seeing it now. Amen. It'll come back with a vengeance. So, folks, I'm telling you, this is so important, what you're doing. Raising children is so important. And what you pour into them is so important. The next point, it says, I'm just thinking about the scripture, train up a child on the way they should go, and when they're old, they won't depart. Oh, they may go out there and try to discover things here and there, but honey, that word, that truth will not go away. That truth that you put in them when they were little takes grip, and it will not be shaken away. The next one in your lesson says, one of the priceless benefits of the Christian community is accountability. That's one of the priceless benefits of the Christian community. Christian accountability. Not just any type of accountability. In the Christian community, you should be getting Christian accountability, which is truth in the Word of God and prayer. The Christian community should always be a safe place for those who need accountability. And that's for believers and unbelievers alike. The Christian community should be a safe place where they can come to. I have people in my life that, you know, they got sin going on in their life, you know, but we keep talking. We keep talking. Some of you guys got family. Some of them are family members, you know. We keep talking, keep pouring into them, and you wonder why they keep coming back and talking to you. You know, like, you know what I believe. What are you going to talk to me for? But they'll come and, I just want to run something past you. I just want you to, what do you think of? Well, you know what I believe. Why are you asking me? Because they want that Christian accountability. Because it's truth. And it resonates in the human spirit as truth. As opposed to Billy Bob over there that's going to tell them anything. Just do what you feel. If it feels good, do it. Oh, that doesn't work. They've done that. That's why they're coming to you. I felt good and I did it. And now I'm in bigger trouble. So again, you want to be that safe place for people who need accountability. A place where they will be helped and not harmed. Where they will be helped and not harmed, folks. What does accountability look like to you? And have you seen it abused? And that's another part of accountability, that we don't abuse people when they come to us for accountability. I've seen people get controlling. Don't get controlling over people. Believers, hear me. Don't get too intimate with Christ's bride. That's what somebody told me once. Don't get too intimate with Christ's bride. Where you're telling them what to do and what ministry to be in and all of this, you better tell them to go to Jesus. Go to the bridegroom. You know, there's certain things you don't talk about. You know, there's certain things between a husband and a wife you just don't mess with. So you got to be understanding accountability. Remember, especially when you're talking to a believer, you're talking to Jesus' bride, you better be careful. Be careful that you're pouring the right thing. You're pouring him into them. His will, his way into them. And not your will and not your way. When people are abused, folks, they suffer in silence. And that's dangerous. As I said, you don't want people suffering in silence. In Christ, we can change that as we're displaying a trusting environment for hurting people. And there's so many hurting people. They're all around you every day. You see them every day. Hurting, hurting, hurting. In your lesson, I put a note in here. Note how the medical community goes to great lengths to preserve the confidentiality of patients. Why is this? Because personal information in the wrong hands can do great harm and have dire consequence. You see, we don't necessarily have that going on in the church where you have to sign confidentiality statements and things like that, but the medical community does it because they know how dangerous it is. We have to have the Holy Spirit as our confidentiality guide, because it can have dire consequences for a person. Can you be a trusted friend with the mantle of accountability for another? These are questions you want to ask. Can you be trusted? Can you keep it to yourself? Are you plagued by the demon of gossip? Do you have the wisdom to only repeat what you know on a need-to-know basis? Because sometimes you do have to tell somebody about some things. Some things you have to do. You know, sometimes you are a mandatory reporter. You know, where I work, I'm a mandatory reporter. If I see child abuse, I got to report it. You know, so some things you've got to tell for the safety of someone that needs protection, or for the safety of somebody that's in big trouble and it's beyond you, you need to get someone else involved. Whoever you get involved, make sure it's a trusted person. You know, sometimes you need to go, that's why we have leadership in the church. That you need to, that's why you have pastors. You know, you need to, okay, we need to, I need to. So again, but you didn't tell half the congregation before you got to the pastor. Yeah, shame on you. You took it straight to where it needed to be. So you protected that person. Whatever you say about somebody, be sure that it's motivated by love and not by a feeling of power over someone because you know something about them. And again, another truth about us humans. When you know something about somebody, you feel a sense of power over them, don't you? I know something about them. You feel better than them. That happened to them. It didn't happen to me. It happened to them because they're doing. You feel a sense of power. And again, it all comes back to pride. I'm prideful. I need to feel better than you. So when I hear some little tidbit of your circumstances, I feel a sense of that I'm better than you. So again, folks, we got stuff we got to nail to the cross if we're going to be people that can be trusted. Always keep it in front of your face and in your heart. But for the grace of God, go I. I mean, it can just happen so quickly, you know, so happen. And I'm going to share something even personal. When I went through my divorce many years ago, and I remember a friend of mine, you know, we were both at the same church, and I was going through a divorce, she was going through a divorce. And I remember months later, she moved out to California. And I remember she called me, and I was saying to her, you know, now we're one of those people. Those people, you know, those people we used to say, that we used to talk about. I said, you know, now we're one of those people. And I was like, well, thank you, Jesus. You know, now I'm over myself now. See, the thing about going through stuff like that is that you get over yourself. You know, folks, I told y'all, I gave you guys part of my test. My stuff was in the newspaper. And the Chieftain, I'm not talking about the Pueblo West View, it was in the Chieftain, okay? And I didn't even know it, I found out at a Christmas party. So anyways, just something, we lost our house, that was what was in the paper. I was like, Lord Jesus, here I am trying to celebrate Christmas. And somebody said, can I talk to you after the party? Because they said, either she's the best actress we've ever seen, or she doesn't know about this. And I didn't know. I didn't know. But you get over yourself. You get over yourself, folks. And boy, I tell you, all things work together for good. Because when all was said and done, I was over myself. I was over Karen Colvin. I was like, you know what? My stuff been in the paper. So I don't even care what people think anymore, you know. So that's a good part of that. So again, you want to be a person that, you know, that you're not trying to get power over somebody because you know stuff. You want to protect them when you know stuff about them. You want to protect them. You're coming alongside to protect them and cover them. Next point on your lesson says, true accountability should lead a person to repentance. Hallelujah. Let me say that again. True accountability should lead a person to repentance. When you are done, that person should be left with truths dipped in love when you're done talking with them and ministering to them and praying with them. It may hurt, but the love and the work of the Holy Spirit should make the truth palatable. You know, it might be hard for them to hear certain things, but that truth dipped in love, it makes it palatable. So they might choke on it, but they can get it down because you loved on them and you protected them. The scripture says in Proverbs 15:2, Proverbs 15:2, if you want to write that down. A wise man makes knowledge acceptable. What a truth. A wise man makes knowledge acceptable. The scriptures teach us is another scripture, but continually encourage one another every day as long as it is called today and there is an opportunity. I just want to pause right there. When I read that, boy, that really hit me, that you may lose an opportunity to encourage someone tomorrow. When you have the opportunity to encourage them because the scripture says, while it is today. Because see, tomorrow, they may not be there. Tomorrow, the enemy may have gotten such a grip on them that they're gone by tomorrow. It says, so that none of you will be hardened into a settled rebellion. Rebellion can set in a person. By the deceitfulness of sin, its cleverness, delusive glamour, and sophistication. This is Hebrews 3:13. I'm telling you, just look at all these descriptors. Delusive glamour. They're delusional. The relationship looks so, wonderful and awesome. I mean, as a believer, you can see it's a toxic relationship. It's going to destroy them. But they get delusional. They're hardened. The enemy is clever and knows how to deceive. So if somebody's not praying against those demons whispering into the ears, oh yes, they'll be going down that path. If you're too busy talking about their circumstances instead of praying, oh wow. As the Lord would whisper in your conversation, as you're gossiping, the Lord will whisper, who's praying? Who's praying? Who's fighting the demon with them? Who's standing there fighting the demons with them? So again, we wanna be good soldiers of God. Understand a war is going on for that person's soul. Warfare, warfare, warfare. Always keep that in mind that we're dealing in a battle and in a war. The next one in your lesson says accountability should always have the component of encouragement and hope with it. It shouldn't be all is lost, all is lost, all is lost. I'm going to stop for questions in a bit. All is lost should not be the issue. Accountability should have a component of encouragement and hope with it. In the revelation of Jesus Christ, he encouraged us with the repeated phrase, to him who overcomes. I love that. To him who overcomes the world through believing that Jesus is the Son of God. And he says it over and over again, which gives us and others hope that we can overcome whatever sin we are in by his blood, which bought forgiveness of our sins. Nobody is ever hopeless. And that's what you come to bring. Hope. Because Jesus said it right here. He overcomes. And if you look at the scripture, it starts in Revelation 2 and 7. And then he says it again in verse 11 and in verse 17 and in verse 26. And then he over to chapter 3. He says it in verse 3 and 5 and 3 and 12 and 3 and 21. To him who overcomes. To him who overcomes. Whoever overcomes. Letting you know you can do it. Through Jesus Christ, you can overcome anything. The liar will tell you you can't. And don't think the liar won't be right there telling you you can't. But you continue pressing in and overcoming in Jesus Christ. You pray for yourself. You know, I pray that you pray. You know, I love David. David would pray for himself. He would talk to himself, why are you cast down, oh my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? I will hope in God. You know, you need to get up and preach to yourself. Why are you cast down, Karen? Why are you looking down? Why don't you hope in God? Remember back in 2006 when your whole world was falling apart, did God not come through? Look at where you are now, girl. Look how God brought you out. Nobody knows your testimony like you, so you need to preach your testimony to yourself sometimes. and don't let that liar just run roughshod all through your mind. I'm telling you, folks, this is warfare. I know I feel like I'm getting a little heated because I'm getting mad at that devil. I'm mad at him. I'm telling you. Because we've been battling, man. We've been battling for the last few weeks, honey. We've been battling with that brother. Yeah, that's right. He's not my brother. I don't know why. That demon, that devil, he's not my brother because he's not a child of God, is he? So I take that back in the name of Jesus. He is not my brother. Take that out of the air in the name of Jesus. Thank you, sister. See? Accountability. That right there. Accountability. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, sister. So as we go and we want to speak the truth of love. The scriptures teach us by speaking the truth in love in all things, both our speech and our lives, expressing his truth. Let us grow up.
Amen.
Let us grow up. Hallelujah. In all things into him, following his example, who is the head, Christ. From him, the whole body. Hallelujah. The church in all its various parts. Hallelujah. Joined and knitted firmly together by what every joint supplies. Hallelujah. We supply each other when each part is working properly. Causes the body to grow and mature. Hallelujah. Building itself up in unselfish love. Boy, there's so much in there. Ephesians 4. 15 through 16. Hallelujah. So there's so much in here. How we are to be joined to each other, knitted together, the scriptures call us. Knitted together, each part doing what it's supposed to do. Each part bringing, you know, supplying the other part. You know, the way your body is put together, I mean, it gives a descriptor of the body, uses the description of the body. Because the whole body is joined together. The ligaments are holding the bones together. And the blood, the circulatory system is going through the whole place, making sure all the tissues and every cell in your body has oxygen. And the heart is pumping and is doing its thing. And his brain is making sure the heart pumps. You know, the brain, there's a part of you called the brain stem. And that brain stem is where your heart just keeps pumping night and day. Even when you're fast asleep, honey, that heart is still going. You know, because the brain stem is telling you, keep working. You know, the upper part of the brain is asleep, but we got to keep going. You know, it keeps your heart pumping. It keeps your lungs breathing. Tells your lungs, keep breathing. Keep breathing. And those of you, you know, you ever have seen somebody that has sleep apnea where they have trouble, you know, and they stop breathing? You've seen people like, you know, when they, sometimes they have a condition where they can stop breathing. But you'll notice that body, after a while, the body will just, because that brain stem is saying, listen, lungs, you all need to take in some air right now. So whatever you need to do, muscles, let's gather together because we need to take a deep breath right now. Oh, hallelujah. Each joint, each part, supplying the other part. Some of you guys are lungs. Some of you guys are heart. Some of you guys are the circulatory system. Some of you guys are the nervous system. So every part is important. And that's how, you understand all these disorders in the human body. You know, there's a condition where people, their nervous system doesn't work. Their pain sensors doesn't work. And these poor people, you know, they touch a hot stove or they're touching something, their fingers are burning. They don't even know it. Because the nervous system's not working like it's supposed to. Folks, every part of the body is important. You might think that's a good thing that you can't feel pain. It is not a good thing. Be glad you've got a nervous system that's telling you when something's crawling on you. Might be a black widow, you know. That's telling you, you know, different things. Every part is important in the body of Christ. Don't let the liar tell you that you're insignificant, that you're irrelevant. Every part. There are people around you that need you to be a safe person. There's people around you that need you. So don't let the enemy tell you you're irrelevant, you're important in the body. Each part is joined and knitted firmly together by what every joint supplies. When each part is working properly, causing the body to grow and mature, building itself up in unselfish love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The next point on your lesson, accountability should always have the component of truth. And we've said that over and over. It should be true. How can one repent if they are not told the truth of the Word of God? You got to tell them the truth. I know we live in a day when people are trying to embrace and endorse all this different lifestyles and types of living, but you can't be accountable. A Christian accountability means you tell them the truth of the Word of God, regardless of what's coming back at you, regardless of what the response is. Accountability means you're telling people truth and not embracing sin. Accountability, next point on your lesson says, accountability should always have a component of love, as we've said. You can love a person without approving or endorsing their sin, and you can. Many of us have family members that we love. We don't approve of, we don't endorse their sin, but we love them. Sometimes repentance takes time. In the meantime, keep the conversation going and keep loving. Keep talking to them. And we're going to go into scripture and really talk about this in detail. You know, what the scripture says about fallen people that are resistant to what you're saying and the truth. We're going to talk about that. Keep loving. Ask the Holy Spirit to teach you how to love them. You know, because some people, you embrace their sin, you embrace everything, and you just let everything go. No. I love you, but you can't do that in my house. Amen. I love you, but, you know, yes, you can come over for dinner, but these are the house rules, you know. So again, just loving. And after a while, they'll know that. You know, I have people that come, that, you know, they're living a certain way, but they know, oh, not Dr. Karen's house. We got to do that somewhere else. Like, that's right. You can come in, I'll feed you, you have a meal, but. So again, ask the Holy Spirit to teach you how to love people. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens and influences another through discussion. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to talk about that over and over again. Sharpening each other. Iron sharpens iron. And then the final point on our lesson as we get into questions. My brothers and sisters, if anyone among you strays from the truth and falls into error, and another one turns him back to God, let the latter one know that the one who has turned a sinner from the error of his ways will save that one's soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. That is, obtain the pardon of the many sins committed by the one who has been restored. And that's James 5:19-20. I love to make the lessons heavy in the Word, because that's where you're going to get the truth, is in the Word. And this is what the Word says, you know. So when you turn someone back, so let me read the comment. It says, we should live with the sobering truth that accountability can save a soul from death. That means eternal separation from God. This is a sobering truth. We're talking about eternity here, folks. We're talking about the rest of their existence. You know, not just their life on earth, but the rest of their existence. So accountability is important. Stand your ground. Yes, they may resent you. They may not like you. You know, I mean, and we get that a lot as believers. You know, those old Christians, they're so strict, and they don't da-da-da. You know, they're haters. You know, they hate, you know, and a lot of it is lies. I said, because I don't stand for that, but I don't hate, you know. So we just want to make sure that we live with the sobering truth that accountability can save a soul from death. Accountability can be like a delicate surgery, taking time and precision of the Holy Spirit to bring a soul to restoration and recovery from death. So keep in mind, it does take time. Little by little, bit by bit, just love on people. You know, as I said, you don't have to be preaching the Bible, beating people with the Bible every day. Just love on them. Live the Word in front of them. Give to them. Bless them. You know, this world is cruel. And this world is hard. So it is easy to step in and show somebody some love that they desperately need, because the world is full of pain and full of hurt. But you can do that. So any comments or questions? I'm sorry, Lily, did she have to go? Because I wanted to get her question. She what?
The verse
which verse was that? Do you know? Okay, thanks. Any other comments or questions?
I just wanted to share. I shared with somebody the other day that I was in love with the Jesus I saw in them. And I say to every one of you, if you can't be the Jesus that somebody can fall in love with, you need to change. You need to change. Because there's people going to hell because they don't see the Jesus that they need to see in you. Because the Jesus that I saw in that person was loving, caring, and forgiving, and they were accountable.
Well, I just want to say something. Our experience, a brother that stayed over our house for 3 years, and you know, he got saved, he was baptized in the Holy Spirit, but his mind hasn't changed. You know, he's still sinning. So when we confronted him about what he's watching on TV and stuff like that, you know, he got really, really mad with us. And and then we were going to a vacation, and then we came back and he was gone, and we haven't heard from him for 3 years. So, I mean, you know, we forgave him, you know, and he wrote me a long, long letter and saying, you know, what all these things that we've been saying to him. And, you know, we've been praying for him, you know, all these years and stuff, and we haven't seen him, you know, for after that. You know, sometimes, you know, we want to be accountable for them, but they just don't want to, you know, accept that. You know, they, as I said, we were just talking about that, yeah, reprobate, you know, he keeps sinning. Yeah, keeps sinning, and, you know, it's the choice that he makes. But the only thing that we need to do is just pray for that person, you know. But,
and, you know, and be encouraged, because you spoke the truth, you showed them love, you know. And yes, there are, I know people like that too, that, you know, still sinning, nothing changed, you know, just has a stubborn will and reprobate mind. You know, the Bible talks about turning, that they were turned over to a reprobate mind. So it does happen, you know, and that's the balance of that. You know, you know, let it not be because they didn't see Jesus in you. You know, if it's going to happen, let it be because they held on to their stubborn will, you know.
But you know what, even though that happened, and you still pray for the person, you never know if God is at work through your prayer.
Yeah.
Because God works by a prayer of faith.
Yeah.
And if you show that person compassion, even if they don't see it, somewhere down the line, you never know, God's going to send unbelievers in their path. And somehow they're going to remember how you treated them and how you loved them. So you never give up on that person. You never stop praying for that person. And that's what I realized. And you're right, accountable. And I realize you're accountable. So that compassion, you come with them with the compassion. You're telling them the truth. They may not get it right now, but they'll get it later on. And because there are some prayers for us that have been answered in the family. We've been praying for a while. And it's been, matter of fact, a good thing happened the other day. Some of the family members, the prayer that we prayed for has been answered.
One waters, what is it? One planted, another one watered, but God gives the increase. And I've had that experience too. They left mad, and then years later you hear, and they even came back and said, you know, you didn't treat me like this person did, you know. So yeah, sometimes it does take time. Anybody else? Comments? Everybody good? You guys good back there?
Okay, Virginia.
Well, I'm so thankful that someone had the power to criticize me. But they criticized in love, And I knew I didn't like her. I didn't, you know, I shoved her away. Well, no, I didn't shove her, but, you know. But I had nothing to do. But she turned out to be the very best friend I have, and she still is. We have to have that criticism because we get so haughty and so set in our minds that we think, well, I'm right. Everybody else is wrong. Well, when you start pointing the finger back at you, you find out just what God is trying to tell you. So, yeah. So we just, at that, like you said, iron sharpens iron. And, yeah. And it continues. It's from the time that we're saved until the time we get our glorified body. So we're either coming out of a trial or going into one. And we have more valleys than we have mountaintops.
Man, I'm telling you, and I yeah, that's true. I got a good friend like that. I'm telling you, we sharpen each other, you know, and that's good. And some of the best people are those that'll tell you the truth, you know, the ones you're clashing with. That's the person, you know, that sometimes you need to be okay, because they're going to tell you the truth. You know, some people just want to tickle your ears and just want to, you know, just make you feel good. But, oh, God, thank you for the person, like David said. That the righteous that will tell me the truth, that will strike me, you know, and let me know when I'm sinning against God, you know. So anyone else before we, let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for your goodness. Oh, Father, we thank you for how you put the body of Christ together, Lord God. We thank you, Lord, that you knitted us together, Lord God, that each joint supplies the other joint, Lord God. And I pray that we would move into this, Lord, that we would grow up in this, that we would understand what it is to be the body of Christ, Lord. Father, that we would learn what it is to speak the truth in love, Lord God. Oh, Father, we just rebuke and cast down and take authority over the demon of gossip. Lord, let it not be named among your people and among your children, Lord God. Father, let us be protectors, Lord God. Let us be those that love and pray for each other. Father, I just pray that you would help us and grow in this, Lord God. I pray that we pray for ourselves, Lord. I pray that we would be safe people and we would be a safe place, oh Lord, for believers and unbelievers alike, Lord God, as we continue in our mission, we continue on our journey. Oh Lord, we pray this and we ask for your Holy Spirit to manifest this stuff in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.